101. Psalm 101. It is good to see you folks. That's fire, huh? Mess with me. I've got Paul. I can't find Psalms, but I've got Paul. I'm finding. All right, now Psalm 101, and we're just going to read a verse here, and it's going to be one of them sermons, you know, where you hit the Bible like a flat stone on a smooth lake, you know, you just kind of hit it, and we'll try to get back to it a little later. But it says this in verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. This is David talking. And I guess if anybody know the penalty of setting a wicked thing before your eyes, David would.
Yeah.
I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the thunder. I thank you that you are the maker of this world, that you spoke it into existence and you spun it. Father, it can stop any time you want it to. Thank you, God, that you jump-started our hearts and when we were born. And, Father, man has not made a machine yet that'll keep a soul in the body when you've called it out. I thank you, God, for being so all-powerful. I ask you now, Father, to speak to the hearts of your people. I ask you, God, to claim something from this message. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Now, I'm just going to say this to you tonight. You better brace yourself for some uncheated legalism. All right? I have been called legalist. Now, actually, I'm not. I'm not a legalist anymore. I'm a Ruckmanite, but I'll take that. I'll take that as opposed to what else they might call me. All right? I would much rather be a Ruckmanite than an Alexandrian, and I would much rather be a legalist than a liberal.
Yeah. Amen.
And now the fact is, you know, that the true definition of legalism, a legalist is anybody has one more conviction than you have. That's the truth. You thought you were holy and special and had something going with God until you found somebody had one more conviction than you had, and then you said, oh, well, I think that's being legalistic. Well, that's because you don't want to take any more steps closer to God than you already have. But I'm going to talk to you tonight just as legalistic, narrow-minded, bigoted. I don't know if God's in it, but I'll bet he gets something from it. All right? And it says this in verse 3. It said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I like the fact that it says set.
I can
think of a set that will set before your eyes. And it never shows you anything but the wicked thing.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm going to talk to you tonight about television.
Yeah. Amen.
And somebody said, well, what's wrong with television? Well, what's right with it?
Amen. Yeah.
I'll be kicked, man. I don't want to go to heaven having defended it.
Yeah.
You stop and think about that. I don't want to go to heaven having had a 5-point, 10-point message on what's good about it. All right? I don't want to do that. And so I want to talk to you about the wickedness of television. Now, let me say this. You think it'll be this, just a typical, you know, preacher jump on TV sermon. I want to tell you, there is nothing good about it.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, no, well, I just got one for the educational program. No, there's nothing good about it. Oh, no, I just got one for the news. There is nothing good about it. Well, I just want to find out the weather. There is nothing good about it. I'm going to show all that to you tonight. I heard an idiot pastor preach to his people and say, I believe that 95% of everything on TV is bad. But you ought to have one, because if you can control it, you're spiritual.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, why don't you turn a rattlesnake loose in your living room and turn out the lights and walk through it?
Yeah.
You probably only got a 95% chance of getting struck. Let your children wander through it.
Amen.
Through the living room with that thing in there. And so I'm going to talk to you about television and what's wrong with it. I will not tell you what's right with it. Well, I'll tell you what. I will tell you right now everything that is good about television. There it is. You don't have any lines to read between. Okay? Let me say this before I even start. If you have 50 of them for all I care, man. Listen, they're great for boat anchors. I can't think much more, you know. And they're real good for target practice.
Amen. Yeah,
but I'm going to tell you why you have one. You don't have one for educational programs. You don't have one for the weather. And you don't have one for so you can run your VCR off of it. Amen. You have one for only one reason. You want one.
Yeah.
All right? I'm going to tell you something. You know, Doc Ruckman used to say this. He used to say that the holiness used to preach against movies till television got into their home.
Yeah.
And when they got a TV, they quit preaching against movies. Listen. Baptists used to preach against TV till we got VCR.
Yeah.
I have a pastor friend of mine who I've been unable to speak to about this. And every time I used to see him, I'd see him about once a year. And every time I'd see him, he'd say, "Brother, let me show you what I found in the Bible." And we'd go to the Bible, and we'd have fellowship around this book about what God had shown him in this book. About the last three times I've seen him, he said, "Let me show you the new movie I got." And I'll tell you exactly it, man. You got a VCR, so that justifies it all. And I'm going to tell you, nobody says anything bad about TV because they have a VCR.
Yeah.
I have a tape catalog. I tell you, preacher, I have a tape catalog where I go sometimes where I preach. If I draw, somebody say, "Can I videotape it?" I don't care. I mean, do what you want. And the bookstore over there where it handles my stuff, we've got those, my catalog. And I'm going to call and say, "Look, take my videos out of the catalog because somebody said we get preaching on TV and off these videos." Well, get some quick offering video. Because the other option was quit preaching against TV, and I'll be kicked if I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
All right? So I'm going to talk to you about what is wrong with television. Before I start, I want to say it this way. You mark it down, whether you've got one or not. You get this straight through your head. Television is not on your side.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
Television is not for you. Television does not have the best interest of your family in mind. I'm speaking to parents.
Yeah, amen.
Television does not have the best interest of your family in mind. Of course, you didn't care about that when you just figured you could throw them 4 hours in front of it on Saturday morning, do what you wanted, use it as a babysitter, whatever, around trying to be He-Man.
Yeah.
All right, the first thing that's wrong with television is that it exposes your family to wickedness. There is enough wickedness in this world. We were in the restaurant last night after this. Man, it's a good thing God saved your pastor, me. It is a good thing, because I'm going to tell you what. I said we'd have had a rumble in Perkins last night. I mean, we walked in there, and there was this female, whatever it was, and her hair was about as bright orange as it could be. I mean, getting a sunburn sitting in the same end of the room with her. And she had her nose pierced, which I figured that fit. You know, I thought that was right. But, and then the thing that she was sitting beside had his head shaved up to here, and it went all the way about halfway down to his back. And I'm sorry, you say, "Are you prejudiced?" Yeah! Yeah, I'm a man! Alright? And it's just something that makes you want to walk over and just lean over to their table and say something that would make this guy even flick an eyebrow up, where you just be like, pow! You know? I mean, it just makes you want to do that. Alright? I say, "Well, that's not very nice." I know that, but I'm saved, and I didn't do it. I'd be tempted. I'm just not supposed to give in to the temptation. So last night at Perkins after service, there was testimony of the salvation of your pastor and I. We sure could have handled a little bit of backsliding last night. What I'm saying is this. My boy saw that. That perverted. What I'm saying is there is enough, listen, isn't there enough wickedness in this world to go around? Don't you reckon your families are going to be exposed to it enough?
Yeah.
Don't you, haven't you ever walked down the streets of Pottstown or Philadelphia or any place else in this country, and you've looked and you had to look the other way, or you told your children, "Don't look over there, I don't want you to see that"? Listen, there's enough wickedness in this world, you don't have to invite it in your living room.
Yeah.
The fact is this, it will expose your family to immorality in that it will show it to them.
Yeah.
It will show them everything that it can. 1990, you know what it's been declared? 1990 has been declared in Hollywood as the year of the bare bottom. You know what that means? That means that this year, they're going to begin to show it. I already saw it. It's all he has, playing with them dirty seconds. No, it wasn't. No, they never bring it in that way. They bring it in scientifically. And it was something about when they had the Bikini Atoll test, you know, with the atom bombs in 1946, and it showed all these sailors, you know, going in there and on the ships and after the bomb had gone off, and then after that they came out and they found out they're radioactive, and it showed these men with nothing on from the back going into the shower. Well, you see, but that wasn't a bad... No, but that is the way it starts, all right?
That's right.
I had a man tell me the other day, and I loved it. He said, you know what I did? He said, I got a VCR. He said, I went out and bought a bunch of old John Wayne movies because he said, I remembered when I was a kid, they were clean. He said, you know what I noticed?
Yeah.
I said, I know what you noticed. You noticed they weren't clean.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
He said, yeah, that's exactly right. I said, you know something, pal? Hollywood's always been against the fence.
Yeah.
They have always been at the very, as far as they can go. There have always been the sexual innuendos. There's always been the man raising his eyebrow and the girl with her soft eyes. It's just that year after year they've gone a little farther, and the TV will show those things to your family.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Now, you're a fool, all right? Shoot your mouth off about loving Jesus Christ and his book and invite that in. You wouldn't go see that kind of thing. You wouldn't invite your, take your family and say, they're having down at the restaurant, you know. They're going to have live entertainment. They're going to have two people making love to each other. You say, well, I'm not going to take my family. Well, no. Well, I pay for it and you have it for nothing, right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It tells your family the wrong thing. It not only shows them immorality, it tells it. This pastor friend of mine, he said, I have this film. He said, I'd like you to see it. Look, man, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't have a TV, and I don't have a TV not because I don't like to watch it. I don't have a TV because I like to watch it. I was raised on it. And I was addicted to television long before I knew what the word addiction was. All right? And if there's one in a house when I go visiting, brother, if I was going to visit Brother John and we're sitting in the living room, and there's a TV over there, I'd be going, yeah, listen, we'd sure like you to, we'd like you to come to church, you know, if you can. Could you turn it up? Now, that's a fact. But I'm going to tell you that television will tell immorality. And this guy said, yeah, see this film. And you know it had the hook. Special effects. Who doesn't like special effects? And so I said, is it bad? He said, well, there's a few bad words. But he said, I got this remote control. And he says, I'll mute whenever there's a bad word. I thought it was a silent film. I mean, you'd hear him saying, why are you? And then it'd be blank for a few words. And there'd be another bit, blank for a few more words. And I'm looking at him saying, my son, I've got my three sons and my wife. My wife was saved at 9, people. She wasn't raised in the bar.
Yeah, amen.
And what she's never gone into a bar to hear, she's heard in the living room of somebody's house.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. I apologize to my wife and I apologize to my boys, but I thank God I saw that movie. Because it was just enough to make me mad enough to turn me off properly.
Yeah.
When I pastored my church, one of the men of my church called me. He's very sheepish. He said, Pastor, he said, you think it'd be all right if I came out to the church and shot my television? I said, oh, yes. I said, you need to get rid of it and we need to fill.
Yeah.
And so he brought it out there. We both went out there with our rifles and set it up on a pile of dirt. And he said, go ahead, Pastor, you first. I said, no, sir. He said, why not? I said, it didn't sit in my living room and cuss at my wife.
Amen. Yeah.
He looked at me and said, yeah, you're right.
Amen.
Now I want to say this. Next time I shoot one, I'm going to plug it in. I think probably a little more fireworks. You know, I've never owned a TV and I shot both of mine. I tell people the only time I ever wish I had one was so I could get rid of it. And I moved into a house in Cincinnati, and believe it or not, the people that were there left two televisions. I was excited. I said, I get to shoot one, don't have to go out and buy it so I can do it. Took them both out and back and just pretended they were mine, shot them up. Television will teach your, will show your family immorality, and it will tell them immorality, and it will teach them immorality.
Yeah.
It will teach them how to look at somebody to be provocative.
Yeah.
It'll teach them how to lie, how to tell them a half-truth. It'll teach, listen, television will teach your child everything it does not need to know about sex and about this world. You know what your problem is? I'm going to tell you exactly what your problem is. You think God put you here to be entertained. You know what the cry of Rome was before Rome fell? The cry, listen, this is a truth, people. This is a historic fact. The cry of Rome, the population of Rome, cried for only two things, food and circus. They were saying, feed us and entertain us. You know what's going, you know what has grown absolutely epidemic in our nation? Entertainment. There used to be the little amusement park that you paid 25 cents for ride. Now it's got to be the massive theme park with some demon thing, that some demon coaster that you have ride. And they're all over the place. There was a day, there was a day when if you wanted to have fun, enjoy yourself, you bought a bowling ball. Now you got to have a $4,000 windsurfer and your own four-wheeler and your air cushion vehicle. And you just got to have that stuff. Isn't that right? We are driven to be entertained. You think you're here just to be entertained. You got that stupid eight. Now look, you know what I went to college for? I went to college for computer programming. You know what a computer is? It is an absolutely stupid machine. A computer can, it's all computer, it can't do a thing. If you have any doubt, when you get the next one, turn on, see what it does. It will do nothing. You'll be lucky if the screen lights up. It looks like this. You say, well, no, man, you got to put a program in it. That's right. A computer is absolutely stupid and can do nothing until it's been programmed and told what to do. Isn't that right? That's what I did. I was a programmer. I told the stupid machine what to do. It was neutral. It was passive. Big open screen. Until I told it what to do. When you watch your TV, what do they call them? Any lights going on? Somebody in Hollywood is calling you a mindless, stupid machine. Which is a pretty good, accurate description, because you know what you do? It's like this. You come home, you know, Mr. Intellect here. Amen. He's like a real mouth breather intellect, yeah? And you sit there.
Yeah,
but man, if I have TV, yeah, I know you might be forced to think.
Yeah.
God forbid, you might have to read a book. God forbid you read a book.
Yeah.
You couldn't even color the pictures. What's wrong with TV is, believe this or not, I bet you believe, you wise and believe it. Second thing wrong with TV is it wastes your time. If television was good, it'd still be a waste of time. And it's not good. You say, well, I just like the sport. Yeah, I just don't like what goes on between the commercials.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't have TV, and we get around my wife's family right around Christmas time, and usually I'll see all my football games right then. Now, I'm not interested in soccer. That's just a bunch of boys wearing shorts playing kickball. You do what you want. But I like football. And I don't see a football game till December. And I'll see about two games on one day and another game that other day. And if I don't ever see those, I will not miss them. I will not miss them. Now, I want to say this. TV will waste your time. It'll steal your time from home maintenance. You know what you'll say, pal? Yeah, yeah, I'll fix it when this is over. Isn't that right? Listen, you got a bunch of stuff around. I know we're all busy, but half the reason you're busy is trying to catch up on what you should have been doing when you was watching TV. And it will steal your time from what needs done around your house. It'll steal your time from what, from your work. You ladies sit there and got all this stuff to do, sit down there and watch. Hey, are there not enough grief and heartbreaks in this world? Then you got to go watch somebody's figment of somebody's imagination in the morning as the stomach turns or whatever it is. And you got to watch that so you can cry and weep and wonder if she's going to leave him. Man, there's enough real grief. You don't need to import somebody's imagination. And it'll waste your time. It'll waste your time from your family. We read, my goodness, my son John, he'll burn a book alive. We were in a meeting in Connecticut some time ago, and somebody gave him a book. It'd be somewhat about half the thickness, maybe a little more than half the thickness of your songbook. We got in that van and drove 8 hours. 8 hours later, John closed that book. He was done. And John will read. And then that little old trailer, there's times when you'll look around and you'll see me reading and Kathy reading and John reading and Nathan reading and Luke reading. Yeah. And there's times when you'll see John reading to Nathan and Luke or Nathan reading to Luke. That television will steal your time. So you say, listen, you know what I used to do? We used to play chicken in the death zone. You know what the death zone is, don't you? That's that corridor between your father's eyes and the boob tube. That's that one where when you step out there, he says, you're right! That's right. That's right. My father loves me. You're right, kill ya! Except in this portion of the house, he loves me. It'll steal your time from your family. Gentlemen, listen, you can save on what you save on the TV. You can take your family away. You could have a good time. You could have a picnic. You can get out. You can enjoy yourself. You can go play miniature golfing with your family. I wonder if you ever do. We play miniature golf. We go out as a family and play miniature golf as a family. I mean, we enjoy ourselves as a family. Maybe you got a TV because you want to get away from somebody in the family. I don't know. If you do, you don't need to watch TV and get your heart right. But TV will waste the time that you can spend with your family. TV will waste the time that you can spend with God. You say, I don't watch TV. No, but you'll play a video game all day long. Now, I don't think they're the devil. I'll walk, and all that stuff. But I'm going to say this. Now, I have a real problem with some of the demon junk. Now, I came into the house one day, and the preacher and his kid and my kid were playing this thing on the video, and whatever it was, to get more power, you had to go to this man who gave you more power, and the man that gave you more power sprinkled you with holy water, and he was a priest. I told my son, I said, you ain't playing that game. I said, you are playing no game that teaches you that there's something good about the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that's it. And I'm going to tell you what that thing will do. That thing will steal your time from God. I hear all this. I had a young girl one time come in my office when I was youth director, and she said, Brother Gift, she was telling me all the problems she had, and I asked her my standard question. I said, you read your Bible last week? She said, oh, I didn't have time to read my Bible last week. I said, did you watch any TV last week? And she looked across my desk, and she said, I had time to read my Bible last week. Yeah. Listen, it'll keep you out of church. You know, I can't go tonight. I want to see the sequel. He's supposed to get killed in this one, and I just want to see how he's going to make it through. It's not real.
Yeah.
He's not going to die. Would do us all good if he did. They got enough of them in reruns to still keep you out of church. People will keep you out of church. It'll keep you out of your Bible. It'll keep you off your knees. I'm telling you, TV is a waste of time. And you know what? Here you people are. You're just like me. You're just like everybody else. You complain about not having enough time to do it, and you'll spend $400 on something to keep you from getting it done.
Yeah.
That's so brilliant.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else it does. It teaches bad values.
Yeah, right.
The TV will teach you bad values. The television will always, I say, always exalt the Roman Catholic Church. You know, it's always Bing Crosby is the fatherly, nice, loving priest, and Father Flanagan and sweet sister Mary. Or they always got this point where, you know, the nun is always sweet and benign. Oh man, this lady's got a double-edged ruler.
Amen.
You know, she'd take your fingers off with it. She's burying babies in the convent basement. Now, that's the truth. And yet, you know, you go on the television and it's all... Hey, I tell people, you know, a lot of times guys get excited on the street and they'll scream the Pope is a dope. He ain't. If you can make it to the top of the most murderous organization in the world and live, you ain't no dope. Okay? I'll say this, he also isn't dope because he's the best actor ever was. Every time they flick a picture, you ever notice? Whenever there's a picture of paper, he goes like this. No, stop. No, wait a second. Think about it. Could you imagine seeing him like this? I'd worry. I wouldn't come preach. If I did, I'd preach another message. It wouldn't be about TV. Listen, the television will always exalt the Roman Catholic Church. It's good old Notre Dame and the fathers. Hey, don't they have a television program about some father, somebody mystery program, you know, where he's the investigator and he's clearing up all the problems. And they always show the priest as some wise person and somebody you can always turn to. Listen, that is not an accident. You say, yeah, but I know the Catholic Church is bad. Yeah, I know, and you're programming your child to think that there's something good about that guy that's got his collar on back. Yeah. Oh, but I told him. Hey, listen, man, what you told him and what they saw is two different things. Yeah. Right. And so it always teaches them bad values and exalts the Roman Catholic Church. It always belittles Bible thumping.
Yes, it does.
Now, I like to play jokes. I like to tell jokes. I quit some time ago. Somebody tell me a joke the other day about a preacher. I said, I don't tell preacher jokes. He said, oh, boy, that's self-serving. No, that's Christ-serving. There is enough truth about the Jim Joneses and Jim Swaggerts of this world that, and there's enough belittling of preachers by the world that we don't need to do it too. Oh, I know what it was. He wanted me to be in a skit where I was going to be a shyster preacher. And I said, no, I won't do it. I said, I'll do it where I can be a shyster newsman. I'd be a shyster reporter if you want me to. Nobody has that. Isn't that funny? We don't do any skits like that. We always do the skits about ourselves. That's good. While the world is telling everybody we're idiots, we're telling everybody we're idiots. I think that's real slick. Listen, the television will always portray a preacher as crooked or crazy. He's always a Bible in one hand and a hatchet in the other, and he's always killing because God told him to. I'm going to tell you something, people. Now, I cruise this nation. And from coast to coast, when I get out, if I meet some stranger, some lost person, I would be better received if I told them I was a homosexual than I would when I tell them I'm a Baptist evangelist. When I tell them I'm a Baptist evangelist, they put one hand over their wallet and the other one around their wife because they know I'm after one of them. Where'd they get that? They got that from television.
Yeah.
Say, well, ain't that how it is? Now! Now, the churches I go to have pastors that are more like your pastor, who won't steal a dime, who won't steal a woman, who won't steal a kiss, who would live right and do right, but the television will only point out the swaggers in the basement. They'll always make a film about the Bible thumper who's out there preaching one thing and out in the back alley, out in the motel, he's doing something else, and you caught it and put it in your living room. And you brought them to church.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If I'm prejudiced, tell me about the program you saw where the preacher was the hero. You got one? He's always somebody simple-minded, quoting the wrong thing at the wrong time, whose prayers always fail, who always looks like a fool, who is always the one that if nothing else you're sure of, you're sure that's not the way to go. You never found a movie yet where they made the preacher smart. You never found a movie yet where the preacher, you never found a movie yet where a preacher walked up and said, this is how it is, we can't do this. Somebody said, boy, that's right. Praise God, man, where'd you get that? I said, well, I just don't do those things. This is how it's going to be. You won't find that. Preacher's never the hero. You teach your people bad values into bad people are always good.
Yeah.
I can't count how many programs or movies I've seen where a woman running a house of prostitution is a nice motherly lady. Is that true? Gunsmith, the one I was going to use. I heard somebody say, oh, Miss Kitty, whatever her name is, she has AIDS. from some guy. I said, well, she played a whore for so long. I don't have any pity for her. I'm sorry, I don't. Wait a minute, man. You realize what that woman did to women across this country? Young girls across this country saw a motherly woman, some sweet... How come television always shows a prostitute as the nice, sweet... hey, listen, you realize that women that run brothels are the most hardened, godless, wicked, and cruel people on the face of this earth? Do you realize that the things that they do to degrade those young girls, to force them into prostitution, should not even be spoken of in unmixed company?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. By television, sir. Sweet Miss Kitty. Yeah. Wonderful Miss So-and-so. Oh, yes. Well, you know, yes, she's a prostitute, but she's never the hypocrite that the preacher is.
Yeah.
When the preacher won't help somebody, Miss Prostitute is always there to lend a helping hand. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You brought it easy. Another thing, and this one scares me. But in television today, wickedness is always bold, in that it is always defiant, and it is always unrepentant. Now, that's scary. I saw a movie years and years and years ago. It had the perfect makeup. Jimmy Cagney, you know, you dirty rat, you know. And he was on death row for murdering somebody, and he was the nation's, the young boys of the nation, he was their hero. And I think it was Pat O'Brien with his collar turned on backwards, came in, and he said this to Jimmy Cagney. He said, Jimmy, or whoever it was, he said, listen. He said, they're going to put you in the electric chair. And he said, I know that you're tough. And I know you won't break and ask for mercy, but he said, listen, I'm asking you to when they take you down the electric chair, I'm asking you to break and ask for mercy and act like a coward, because the eyes of the young people of this nation are on you. And if you go to that electric chair bold and defiant, you will bring countless young men into a life of crime behind you trying to emulate you. And I heard Jimmy Cagney says, well, Father, you just get out of here. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to be a man, and I, you know, and he was defiant. And then I saw where they took him out, one cop on each arm, and as they took him down, he saw that electric chair sitting down in the chamber at the end. His knees began to buckle, and he began to weep and scream and cry and ask for mercy. I remember the next scene showed the newspapers talking about how he was such a coward when he died, and young boys throwing that paper down and tearing down their pictures of him. Listen, what I'm saying is this. The devil knew the power of repentance. And now, you know how it is? Now they die unrepentant. That is why a 13-year-old can take a gun and walk down the street and blow four or five people away and glare at the policeman that arrested him. Because he has sat in front of a box who has taught him that he can do that and never have to repent. And they are defiant to the end. And then repentant to the end. Did you ever stop and realize that if they just made the films so that when somebody was bad, if they repented and weeped and realized they were going to hell, what it would do in America? But we've got a generation that has been raised with a clenched fist and a grit in their teeth, and they'll say, no, I'll not bow my knee, I'll not bow my heart, I'll go to hell like this. And they will. And they will. Television, the wicked are always bold. Tell you something else television will do. Television will always teach bad values, and it'll teach unbiblical values. I remember when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was illegal to have an abortion. But I can remember when I was a kid watching a program where a young girl was about to have an illegitimate child, and rather than have that illegitimate child, she went and had a, ready for that term, back alley abortion. And she died. And I remember the way that program was so well produced that it touched my heart of how unright it seemed that that girl had to die because someone wouldn't let her have an abortion. That was 20 years before abortion, or 15 years before abortion was legalized in this nation. That tells me that for about 15 or 20 years before abortion was legalized, the television was promoting it in your mind, pal. In your mind. Now it's here. Do you want to know what it's promoting right now? I am sure of it. I haven't seen it. I'm telling you, I know exactly what it's promoting in your children's minds right now. Right now it's promoting euthanasia. It's promoting mercy killing, you know. And I've heard about those. I've heard about the man, you know, who killed his wife, or program about a guy who killed his brother because he was paraplegic and I love my brother so much I killed him. Man, I wish I could have used that excuse when I was coming up. And you will always say, listen, there's a person here, they'll always show you some weird exception. And it will be unargumentative. You can't argue against it. And you will feel sorry, and you will go right along with it because you can be programmed. And one of these days, mercy killing, euthanasia will be a law and legalized in this nation. And the reason is because someone will be reaping a crop that's been sowed for 15 years on television. And born again, Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing kids who are sitting in this church right now, 10 or 15 years from now, will not kick when euthanasia comes into existence in this nation because they've been programmed, because their daddy and mommy sat them in front of it and told them to. Television right now, your children are going to be exposed to animal rights. Ain't no animal rights. Or it's getting right to vote. I have a thing. I don't have my briefcase here. I have one. Now, I'll tell you, it was the most common that I have the National Geographic. You say, I think National Geographic's a good magazine. Well, you don't have any sense. Now, I'm going to tell you first, it's got good pictures in it, yeah. That's some of the best photography you've ever seen. It's also 99% evolution.
Yeah.
And the other 1% is just raw humanism. All right?
That's right.
Well, you think because you have it, you're educated. Yeah. That's your problem, educated on your intelligence. All right, listen. This kid, it was an ad out of the National Geographic. And now, you ever see those scenes, you know, where they show a mother and a hungry child? You know, the real tearjerkers. I mean, they find, I think on the side of this kid's stomach it says inflate to 60 pounds, you know? But, the kid is, you know, dehydrated and mama's. They had a picture of a chimpanzee and a little baby chimpanzee. I guess that's mama and baby, and it's trying to make them look forlorn. And underneath it, it said, I'm trying to quote this, because I got a picture of my briefcase. This is wild. It's crazy. I could have killed. And it said, without understanding, you won't care. And without caring, you won't act. And without acting, the cause of the chimpanzees is lost. A cause? Well, what are they after? NBA contracts? I mean, what is this? What is the cause of the chimpanzee? I'm trying to figure it out. What is the cause? I have not seen them go, I see them. Yeah, maybe they got a sign, free bananas. What is the cause of the chimpanzee? The right to vote. Let alone your son, your daughter. I don't care. Sit there and think, a stupid animal, man. Soulless, mindless animal. You sit there and listen, you'll watch something and weep over it, or you'll ever die. And walk past somebody, gets hit by a car in front of your church and dies and never think about the fact their soul's gone to hell. Pastor and I'll tell you this. We were sitting in a restaurant tonight, we saw a couple mouth breathers walk in. I tell people that mine is a terrible thing to waste. I can tell because God didn't give them one. If you couldn't look at that and laugh, there's something wrong with your laughing. But also while I sat at that table, I didn't say God reminded me. I reminded myself that they're two lost souls. They need Jesus Christ. And I prayed for them at supper. I ain't praying for old Yeller. You live in a nation where they will take an unborn human being, murder it, throw it in a garbage can where the dogs of the neighborhood will eat it and fight over who gets to eat that poor dead baby. And when the dog dies, they'll give it a funeral. And you'll see it on your TV. Your children are going to be taught animal rights. Your children are going to be taught environmentalism. You say, well, don't you think we're here to take care of the world? No. No, that book says the world is mine. I am not it. You know what those one worlders hate? They hate it. I want to get a bumper sticker that says the world is just dirt. I'd like that. I was going to get one that said save the dirt, but they'd take that serious. They're probably going to say, how do you think we ought to do it? I'd look at about a mouthful. Start now. Now, I had a preacher tell me this. He says, well, don't you feel that, we are the custodians of the world. I said, where'd you get that in your Bible? Yeah. I am not the world's dinner. Yeah. I'm the world's owner. That book says that you are to subdue this world, to have dominion over this world. Now, you're going to think I'm nuts. But when I swatted a wasp, I taught the guy here, I'm your master. Yeah. I became his master June 14th, 1970, when I got what Adam lost in the garden.
Yeah. That's right.
This world is here for me. The oil is here for me to burn. Right. The wood is here for me to burn. The animals are here for me to eat.
Right.
You say, well, I don't. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't feel right. That's because you've been watching too much TV.
Yeah.
Isn't there something wrong when you have sympathy for a tree? Yeah. Well, you stop and think about it. You have sympathy for a tree. Oh. I heard this thing down in Texas. This thing down in Texas, you know, where they said, you remember what a swamp was? When you grow up, swamp was a stinking swamp. I mean, breed mosquitoes, snake bites you, alligators hiding out there somewhere, tear your legs off, and that's a swamp. Best thing you do with a swamp is fill it in, right? There are no more swamps. Just like the bums have become transient, swamps have become wetlands. And this thing they had down in Texas, you know, it said the oil spill. You ever notice that all of those oil spills never end up being as bad as... It's like, what about that big one in Alaska? Yeah, what about it? It was on in Alaska. Well, it killed a ducky. So? Are there any more duckies? It killed a seal. Are there any more seals? Yeah, I hear the idiots. You know, the big one right now is they're afraid of the African elephant going extinct. What happened to survival of the fittest? The sucker's fitter than I am, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm taking care of myself. Can't take care of himself.
Amen.
You think it's, hey, what would happen if while I'm talking to you, the last African elephant dies? How would it affect your life? I can just see it. I can just see you sitting here, you know, listen, please. All of a sudden, somewhere, an elephant died. Get this, man. I read about these African elephants dying. And they said, you know where the two nations that are the most concerned about the extinction of the African elephant? England and America.
Yeah.
There ain't too many African elephants stomping your garden in England and America. They ain't coming down through there running through your house and squishing your kids, stomp your garden, tear your wife off and stomp her, and then say, and while this baby is standing there in grief, some limey, some Yankee, walk up and say, the poor thing. They should be extinct.
Yeah.
Extinct. Remember the whales? Remember when they say, save the whales? For those poor three whales, you know, did you notice they weren't saving them from whalers, they were saving them from nature? Man, I had visions of going up there with a long coat and a sawed-off shotgun saying, oh, I'm here to help the whales. Boom! Boom! Take care of. Turn that Soviet icebreaker around, man. Don't need it no more. Yes, sir, brother. And you know what that was? I'm going to tell you exactly what that was. That was a bunch of religious fanatics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carrying around their little religion. Oh, we help save a whale. You'll go to hell doing it.
Yeah.
Well, you think you'll stand in front of God and say, I saved one of your whales. Or say, you're nuts. I kill them things all the time. It's just how many I put on each coast from God. I killed one for Jonah. You stupid jerk. You saved whales. What about the lost? What about your soul? And you'll watch something, and so this last thing, Dallas, I like to know the oil spill. There's 90, 100 trillion, billion, billion gallons of oil. And it's going to wash up on the shores of, from the Gulf of Mexico, it's going to reach all the way to Chicago. And it says this, and it's going to go, it's endangering, now get them all, you can't say swamp, you say swamp, everybody says, oh good, it's only swamp. Now it's a home entertainment center. I want to say that if you spend $8,000 on a Technicolor stereophonic home entertainment center for the educational programs, you need the education because you're stupid. All right? I mean, you just testified of your ignorance. You sit there and say, I want my son to see the educational program. Well, who do you think makes it? Oh, well, they had this one on charts. Yeah, and it started out with the chart going by, and it said 25 million years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good education.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what you would tell your children is not true.
That's right.
And they say to themselves, how come Ted Turner's bad? And how come 25 million years ago ain't true, but my old man bought me one and put it in front of me, and it taught me that?
Yeah.
Oh, but he went to see his football game. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it will teach evolution. I laughed this one time. I saw this one chart. Hey, listen, where are your shoulders to you if you don't have one? If you don't have one, you'll be surprised how much of it you see. In fact, let me say this. If all of the television your children ever see is at somebody else's house, they'll do well. My kids know all the programs. They see enough of it at other people's houses. You say, well, you may as well have one then. Well, may as well have a queer for supper, too. Shouldn't I? They're going to see him, ain't they? I'll get some crack. Somebody smoke crack in my trailer. Here, man, I mean, look, I'll agree with this, but they're going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good answer. That's the philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it said, get this, man. Now, when you can be the advocate for a bloodthirsty animal, you get some wrong with you. And they're talking about how sharks, they bite people by accident. Yeah, well, let's hope they never get serious about it. And it says, well, they thought they were a fish. Or they mistook it for, a piece of wood or, I don't know, And so I better go up there and bite that. It's not bad law. Think I'll eat that. So it was telling how these sharks were really not bad, and they didn't have any killer instinct. They weren't vicious. Just every now and then, they had to eat somebody for balance. And then, get this, then it showed a diver in a chainmail diver's outfit. And they were testing this out as protection against shark bites. And they had this shark. I don't know what kind it was. It was this little, but man, I'd like to have a watchdog like that. Was the meanest thing. Now, it's right here, see? It recognizes this ain't no tree, ain't no fish. It's trying to rip this man's arm off. I mean, it is showing how this thing grabs this man's arm and slashes back and forth, and you see this guy going like this. Listen, it never harmed that man, and when they brought him topside, he was shook. I mean, when you go out there and volunteer to be shark bait, pal, it's going to get to you. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, oh, mistaking him for a fish, is he? Sweet, kind, nice little shark. Where's the collar with his license? The educational programs will teach one worldism. You'll never find anything pro-American. It's been going on a long time. Man lands on the moon. Who'd land on the moon? See, we even said, you hear what I said? I just quoted television. By accident, I said man didn't land on the moon. an American landowner. You know what would be neat? If you could be a closet right-wing conservative astronaut. I'd like to be the first man on the moon, you know, and he had it scheduled, you know. You're supposed to say, this is one small step for a man, mankind, and one giant leap for mankind. Couldn't say it for America, because then you'd be proud of being American. Wouldn't it be something if he got down there and he stepped out and said, I bet the Russians couldn't do this! That might make you proud of mom, apple pie, Chevrolet, hot dogs, and the flag. You know what you'll never see in this country? You'll never see a military parade. You know why? Because that might make you think about America. You don't need a law to stop people from burning the flag. You get a column of M1 tanks rolling through downtown Pottstown with soldiers marching behind them and F-16s in squadron formation fly over and just crack those things into afterburner. Yeah. The guy who is holding this flag with his lighter under him will go,
yeah.
That's right. But they'll teach one worldism. They'll teach the metric system. I want another bumper sticker that says, I won't give an inch for metric. Nobody prints my bumper stickers. I like them. Your educational programs will teach unisex, interracial. Everything will be interracial. Everything will be unisex. I saw an advertisement, man, and this woman, in her business suit, calls home and says, I had to call my husband and tell him that my supervisor is coming home for supper. And then it shows hubby around the kitchen. And of course, the woman comes home with her woman supervisor, and he's sitting here wringing his hands, hoping he hasn't hurt his wonderful wife's chance for promotion to be the corporate president. And at the end, the supervisor says, oh, and now about that promotion. I did hear you. That's perverted.
Yeah.
Oh, listen. Dear, my supervisor's coming over. So, I'm having the guys over for a poker game. Does she play poker? We need another one. You can't do this. This will hurt my corporation long-term plans. Get home and cook, woman. So you're a chauvinist. No, I'm the man.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for this? The weather's no good. They say, come on, the weather's got to be good. The weather's no good on television. I'm telling you that the weather forecast that you're going to watch tonight after 11 o'clock news is of the devil. So, man, you're really extreme when you think, when you say that the weather, wait, I told you I was a computer programmer. How many of you guys got computers? Let me see your hands. So everybody with a computer knows one thing. That computer only has so much storage. Isn't that true? We call bytes. Your computer will only take so many bytes of information. Is that not true? That means you've got only so many things in your brain. It's just like look like the lockers at an airport. You know, just a little locker. Little locker, you see rows and rows of them, or at the gym, you know, where you put your tennis shoes, and just the little lockers. That's what your brain is, like little things in an egg carton, or the old Coke cartons, you know, the wooden ones, you know, when you bring a case of Pepsi, and all those little slots, you only got so many. Isn't that true? I mean, your brain does not get bigger. So it's only got so much core storage, correct? I'm going to be the weatherman. The high today was 94, reached at 215. The low was 55, reached at 1201. The record high was 99, reached in 1958, and the record low was 32 that we reached in that cold winter of 1974. Last year on this date, it was 81 degrees, and the low was 61 degrees. Normal for this date is 75 degrees, and the normal low is 58 degrees. The average for the month, the average high is 78 degrees, and the average low is 49 degrees, and the mean temperature is 61 degrees. That's right.
But you say, I'll ignore it. You can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. You know what you just did? You just let somebody fill. The high today was 94 degrees. The low was 55 degrees. The high was high 94, reached at 215. Low 55, reached at 1201. The record was 98 degrees, reached in 1938. You're filling up. You say, no, I'm not even thinking about it. Wait a second. Your mind is the most amazing thing there is. Did you ever drive down the street and notice a license number that said 666? Well, didn't you ever stop and wonder how you could do it? Don't you know how you do it? Your mind analyzes everything. What your mind, you don't just happen to see a license number that says 666. What you don't know it is that your mind is analyzing and analyzes every car license you see. But there's a significant number in your mind, and 666 is a significant number, and so your mind, I mean, every time you look at a license number, unconsciously, your mind is going, and when 666 comes up, it says, hey, notice that. And you go, oh, look at that, 666. What I'm telling you is that your mind is working when you don't know it. And you'll sit down and watch, what do you care? Hey, you see this? I don't need a thermometer. This is the greatest temperature thermometer in the universe. This stuff works. It's hot today. Did you notice? Did you notice before you found out the temperature? Yeah. Or were you fine? Some of you shouldn't find out the temperature. You wouldn't even start to sweat till they tell you. Listen, I walked outside today and my skin said, Sam, it's hot. Now my skin did not say, Sam, it's 94 degrees. Last year on this day, it was the record. Hey, this stuff is so sensitive, it can tell me so much, I can put a coat on it, I can cover my head so I don't know, and the sun will be behind a cloud, and without looking, when the sun comes out from behind the cloud, my skin tells me the sun came out. You ever have it happen?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
In the winter, it tells me it's cold. It's really, it's never let me down. Can you imagine finding somebody froze to death, you know, t-shirt, and light slacks out there when it's sub-zero. So, oh, look, he forgot to see the weather report. Oh, no, man. When I walk out, it says, oh, cover me. But I'm telling you the truth. What I just told you about the weather. Now, wait a second. You think about it. You see it at 6, you see it at 11. Then you'll see it tomorrow. You'll see it. I just gave you 20 bits of information that you did not need to know. You multiply that by twice a day, that's 40 bits. Multiply that by the week, and I'm going to tell you something, pal, it is no wonder you can't memorize Scripture. It's no wonder you can't memorize or remember anything. Your circuits are being overloaded by your television. The weather ain't good. The news is no good. The underlying purpose of the news is not to inform you. The underlying purpose of the news is to frustrate you. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. You know what happens when you get frustrated? The first time there was ever an experiment in frustrating a large group of people was Vietnam. The way you frustrate somebody is you give them a job to do and prevent them from doing it. So what did they do in Vietnam? We put an entire army. Our military men, we put them in the Vietnam War, told them to win, and prevented them from doing it. We said, you can win. Oh, you shot the wrong person. Put him in jail. You can win. Just go out. Well, you're not allowed to have a chambered round in your weapon while you're on patrol. You can't. They told the pilots they were not allowed to shoot an enemy airplane on the ground. They were not allowed to shoot at a SAM missile site unless you'd already shot at them. Now, that's a little late.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little late. You say, what happened? They got frustrated. They began to take dope. They began to not take their job serious. And they began to kill their superior officer. Isn't that right? The next time that thing was carried through with our law enforcement officers. They were told to go out there and keep the law, and they arrest the guy on Saturday, and on Monday the cop is on trial. Well, I'm sorry, you didn't read him his rights right. Well, you know, this is the reason, and he's he murdered 45 people, and he's out, you know, in two weeks, and he said he's going to kill your wife. This may sound awful. I would have little compassion if a rapist or a murderer got out after being let loose, if his next victim was the wife or daughter of his lawyer or the judge that let him out. Now you say, that's awful hard. Well, I'd rather it be theirs than yours. I'd rather it be one of those ladies than one of you ladies. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what happens to you every time you watch the news. First off, you see a bunch of stuff. What do you care? Can I tell you something? What do you care if Yosemite burns down? Now, you think about it. You say, well, it's such a pretty place. Big deal. I've been there. You know, I've been there. This thing. You know, I read the paper. It said, oh, and that fire is threatening those 5,000-year-old trees. You know what? You go to Yosemite, you know what it'll say? It'll say that fire is a necessary part to the life of every sequoia. Listen, not one sequoia will die if that fire sweeps right through the sequoia ranges. It will not hurt those trees. They are made for fire. They can burn and burn. They're a resistant fire. When you go there, you'll see a bunch of them with fire scars on them. And it says right there, the fire doesn't hurt them. That newsman knew that. You know what, you stupid thing? You're sitting there wringing your hands over sequoia. What about Yosemite? What do you care? You hear about something that goes on in this world that is not only none of your business, it doesn't concern you, and you find yourself worried about something that ain't your business. What do you care? Then you'll hear, like I did in California, about the young man who bludgeoned his mother to death and got 10 months probation. And the man in Florida who killed his neighbor's dog because he was digging holes in the backyard and got 3.5 years in prison. You know what happens when that happens? Something inside you goes, because you can't do anything about it. And every time, I'm telling you the truth, you check it out. You check it out if you think I'm making this up. Next time you watch the news, you see if something in you doesn't go, you see if you don't come out saying, well, why don't they do this? Well, how could they do that? You're going to come out totally frustrated because you're going to see something, you know how to be handled, and you can't do nothing about it. So our entire population is on the verge of a nervous breakdown, which is why now when you cut somebody off in California, they pull out a .38 and blow your brains out. I mean, they can't take anymore. There was a day 15 and 20 years ago when it was the dope head and the alcoholic and the bum who went home and killed his wife and children and shot himself. And today, it's the upstanding right-wing father who's never done anything wrong, who doesn't drink, who just writes and says, I can't take any more, and kills his wife and kids and himself. Because that's the one that they're after. Didn't you ever figure this out? Women want their rights. Who do you even get them from? Men. Blacks want their rights. Who do you even get them from? The old people don't want to be told they have to retire, so they're going to get their rights from who? People younger than them. The young kids want their rights. They need their rights from somebody that's older than them. You know what I just told you about? I told you about a white male who is between the ages of 35 and 65. I told you about the backbone of America. I told you about you. You're the guy they're after. You're the one they're taxing to death. I'm not running for president, by the way. But you're the one they're going to frustrate. And you're going to help them do it by watching on TV every night.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you the truth. Listen, you're looking at a news addict. Man, I watch the news. I can watch CNN. I mean, just watch it roll and watch it roll and watch it roll. I mean, I used to get the newspaper one time when I lived in Massillon. And I found every time I read it, I got mad. I still get mad.
Yeah.
And one Friday, this kid, and I'm telling you, the kid that was my newspaper boy was a good kid. Good kid. He came collected, I paid him, and I said, hey, by the way, I says, no more newspaper. And the kid was really conscientious. He says, why? He said, have I not been a good newspaper boy? I said, I said, friend, you've been a good newspaper boy. I said, but every time I read that paper, I get mad. And I said, I just can't understand why. I just don't see any sense in me paying you $1.25 a week to make me mad. The kid looked at me and says, yeah, that makes sense. The news is frustrating. It is frustrating. You have never yet watched the news that you didn't come away torn up inside. Isn't that the truth? Do you men realize what that is? You know what it's doing to the men of this nation? It is killing them just as sure as totalitarianism killed the manhood of Romania for 40 years. Because men who are known for action, now they say, I don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
I tell people, I know a guy who carries a gun. I said, if you're ever in a 7-Eleven store and somebody's robbing it, I said, you walk in, you blow that guy's brains out, and then you look at the guy that was behind the counter, you tell him, I'm 7 feet tall, got bright red hair, 3 green eyes, and I'm leaving, see you. Don't stand around waving some pin of metal on you.
Yeah.
I mean, do your job, but beat it, pal. Don't you think everybody's going to pat you on the back? The news is frustrating. I was talking to some of the other guys here last night. I'm jealous of news reporters. I'm jealous of Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, and Peter Jennings. If you think they're honest men, you're a fool.
Yeah.
You know why I'm jealous? Because they're the new preachers.
That's right.
They wear pinstripe suits. Don't they?
Yeah.
They expose sin. Don't they?
Yeah.
They'll go right out and confront them, won't they? With the TV cameras, sir, will you please talk? Why are you walking away, sir? We just want to know, did you take the bribe? Exposed sin. They teach a righteousness that they themselves don't live up to. I am jealous. I don't like anybody impersonating me. The news is frustrating. Why you should have television set, if no other reason. You ready for this? Throw out everything I've said. Just say, well, I just don't believe anything you've said to this point. Good. Now, I'll give you one other thing. Well, look at Psalm 101.
Yeah.
And verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You can't deny that it's wicked. What's on there is wicked. Now, a television set by itself is not wicked any more than a gun is wicked that lays in your chest of drawers. I mean, you know, I don't think that gun is any more dangerous than the TV. The problem is the gun is dangerous if it's used. And the TV is dangerous if it's used. But why have one? What are you going to do? Take the guts out of it and make it a terrarium? Make it a fishbowl or something? I mean, really, man, what are you going to do with it? There's no good use for it. And so, if nothing else, having a television violates the scriptural admonition of Psalm 101, verse 3, where it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Job said this. He said, man, he said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look on a woman? Your eyes belong to God. Your mind belongs to God. What are you doing? Throwing your mind in neutral like some passive, thoughtless machine and wait for it to be programmed in the wrong way? Listen, they cuss on it. They run around naked on it. They have immorality on it. They have homosexuality on it. What if your preacher says, I'm going to have these two queers come in and perform for us? Throw them out. What you turn on TV? Well, I like the old Rock Hudson play.
Yeah.
When that guy died, I heard somebody announce to some preacher's meeting somewhere, said Rock Hudson died of AIDS. He was a queer. And somebody said, one preacher in there says, man, I thought he was a man's man. Somebody else in the crowd said, he was.
Yeah.
You'll watch a pervert. You better read the very last verse of Romans chapter 1. Now, you know who's in Romans 1. And you're not in there, are you? Oh, yes, you are. You might not be in the first, I think there's 31 verses, if I'm not mistaken. Let's look. You might not be in the first 30 verses. You might not be in the first 31 verses. But look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. Wait a minute. Do you know the judgment of God on queer? Do you know the judgment of God on queer? All right, and the person here doesn't know the truth about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? You know the judgment of God. Who know? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, a queer is okay if he's entertaining you. As long as what he does it in the privacy of his bedroom. But if he comes into your living room and performs for you, and he comes on as the gun-slinging sheriff who cleans up the West, but he's a pervert, as long as he's okay in your house, it's all right.
Yeah.
You let somebody like that take your kids get an ice cream cone? What if you knew they would never touch your chin? Would you take it? Let them take it? No. You pay $400 to have them come in your living room. My last point is this. Bible reading is so much better. I can't say enough for Bible reading. Bible reading is so much better. You'll get mad. Something tells me John McLaughlin is one of the people you wouldn't want to see mad. I'll tell you, I get mad. No, I don't get mad at my wife, but there's things in this world making mad. I read 30 pages of my Bible a day, but sometimes I have to read more. You know why? Because I get so mad, I'll just go out and I'll tell Kathy. I won't jump down her throat over something else. I'll say, babe, I'm going to read my Bible because I'm hot. Just let me read my Bible. And I'll read my Bible and I'll knock out 10 or 15 more pages. I'll read that book for an hour or an hour and a half. While I'm reading, piece by piece, that book is chipping away at my anger. You know, if I came in and watched the TV,
yeah,
and I saw somebody on TV that was mad, and they went out and got their gun, pulled the hammer back, and took care of their problem by blowing that guy away, I just might be tempted to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
People, Bible reading is so much better. So I'll just read that book, and I won't close it till I'm not mad. I say to you tonight, set not the wicked thing before your eyes. I'll preach this message in a church. I forgot. I didn't bring my van tonight, or I have it. I have it. I wanted to have it. I do have it. Just a second. I do have it. I do have it. I have it. Come in, Tracy. The next day, a man brought these into me. You'll note that's been cut by side cutters. He said, you know what that is? I thought, you don't know what that is. He said, you know what that is? I said, yeah. He said, that's the horn and the tail of a bull. He said, they say in them bullfights, when they kill the bull, they cut off the horn and the tail and give it to the matador. And he said, that thing in my corner had so much bull in it that I thought after I killed it, I'd bring you the horn and the tail. At that meeting, middle-aged couple saved. With some problems in their lives. I saw them 2 weeks later. That lady came up to me and she said, thank you. She said, our home has been so much better without our TV. Do you know what they told me first? They said this. When they gave their testimony that night, they said, God's been dealing with us about getting rid of it.
Yeah.
They said, this is all we needed. If you've got a television set, I hope God deals with you by getting rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't believe you can justify the existence of having one anymore than you justify the existence of beer in your ice box.
Yeah.
Any more than you can. Listen, I've talked guys who say, well, I'll carry a lighter around, you know, just because you never know when you need a lighter. Oh, no kidding. I think I'll carry a joint around, just never know when you need a joint. Carry a syringe around, you never know when you're going to start taking dope. You just never know. So if I want a vaccination, you don't have a syringe. If you have a television, now, look, if I come in your house this week, you have us over, and you have a TV, I'm not going to say anything to you. I'm not going to say anything to you. I've said enough. And when I see a TV, I don't go,
Kathy, look. They have one of them. Because you see, my heart's wicked. When I see one, you know what I think? I just feel sorry for the family.
Amen.
I think somebody here is being cheated.
Amen.
Somebody here's coming up short. There's some children not getting what they should be getting.
Yeah.
They're being taught wrong because mama doesn't want to take care of the kids on Saturday mornings. They're stuffing them in front of a TV set. Hey, Pape, we ain't talking about Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
We ain't talking about the Roadrunner. We're talking about the Ring of Power and the demons. And we're talking about One World, and we're talking about Things Out of Hell. We're talking about the little rock music, half-dressed, scantily clad, pink-haired girls. We're talking about the Magic Bears. That's what we're talking about. If you got one, man, I couldn't care less. I've said what I've got to say about it. But that's the way it ought to end up. See, you can shoot it. I mean, you can shoot it, you know. I'd like to collect these things.
Yeah.
You'll never come out poor. You'll never come out poorer for not having TV.
Amen.
I've never seen anybody without one that came out spiritually poorer.
Right. Right.
And the fool pastor who told his people that 95% of television was bad, told his people it was okay to have one. You know what he said? He said, if Jesus was here and would watch it with you, it's okay. He said, it's okay as long as you control it, because if you can control it, so you're not like those legalists who don't have one. Because, see, you know what to watch. I'd like to send a guy a letter and just say, would you please just list the 5% I can watch? You know what you'll do? You'll watch it for 2 hours looking for the 5%. Isn't that right? Oh, well, here's what you do. You'll watch something. And they wait till you're almost halfway through it, and they got you, and then somebody will say something they shouldn't say, and you go, well, they've already said it now. They're probably done. They're probably not going to say that anymore. You know why? Because you long to be entertained. You could win somebody to Christ, would you? Just, if you get an urge to watch TV, just call up some man in the church, if you're a man. I just say, hey, man, I got the urge to watch TV. Let's go soul winning.
Yeah.
You get the urge. Why don't you sit down with your family and read the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
All us stand with your heads bowed. I do not believe that people without TVs are more righteous than people that have them. You hear me? I said I do not believe that people who do not have TVs are more righteous than those who have them. I think they're just as wicked as everybody else. But I am 100% sure, not 95, I'm 100% sure that they've got less garbage going in a wicked mind.
Yeah.
You're just that much better off not having one. The invitation is this tonight. The invitation is, I'm not telling you to go home and shoot your TV. I wish you would. I wish everybody had one, go home and shoot it. But if you go home in the emotion of one hot shot preacher coming in and bad mouthing TV and blow your TV away, 6 months from now, you'll leave this church because you'll feel like you were deceived. You'll get you a bigger television set. You'll be farther from God than you ever were. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're standing here and in the last 6 months to a year God has been dealing with you about TV, you probably ought to get rid of it. If you've had any question that maybe there's something wrong about it, I want you to know that God probably had me preach this so that you would go home tonight and shoot it. I had a friend of mine, he says, oh, I don't think God wants to get rid of my TV. He said, if he wanted me to get rid of my TV, he'd have it go bad. And he went home and turned it on and the fix tube went boom. You know what he said? He didn't say, well, God wanted to get rid of it. He said, oh, that was just a coincidence. Went out and paid $250. Got it fixed, brought it home, turned it on, and another tube went boom. This time, he got rid of it. I knew of a guy that took a double-edged axe and just buried it in the top of his television set and left it, sitting in the living room. He said, that's a good conversation piece. Well, yeah, I'll start a conversation. Guarantee your daughter's boyfriend won't give you no lip. Now, here's what I'm saying. The invitation is this. If you know that God has been dealing with you the last few months, if there's been any question about television, I believe that tonight is probably enough to tell you, y'all get rid of it. I think you should. If God has not dealt with you, you have one, and you just say, preacher, look, I plan to keep it. Here's what I ask. I ask you to do what the invitation hymn says. Where he leads now, follow. I just ask you to take what I've said and go home and talk to God about it. I heard a man say one time, some men, some fathers, some leaders of the home, spiritual leaders, every time they're over on their knees is to get down and justify and do it. I don't believe that anybody with a TV has ever gathered their family around it, laid hands on it, and said, God bless what we're about to watch. But it might not hurt for you to do that. It might not hurt for you to do what one family did. They took the verse that I read to you, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes, and put it on TV, on top of their TV, and they said they had it there for about 3 months when they realized one of them had to go. And they got rid of the bottom one, not the top. So what I'm saying is this. Go home and talk to God about it. Watch the news and see if it doesn't make you mad. I dare you. I challenge you. Watch the weather and see if they don't do exactly what I just told you. What do you care what the temperature is in Denver? And here's the temperatures around the country. What do you care? What do you care what the temperature is in Quebec or Houston or L.A.? What do you care? And turn on the TV and let your kid watch it. I saw in a secular magazine, U.S. World Report, one December issue where it was talking about unique Christmas gifts. And one of the unique Christmas gifts in this secular lost publisher's magazine was a lock for the cord on your TV set so that when you weren't home, your kids couldn't watch something you didn't want them to. The lost world knows there's a problem with it. Get your head out of the ground. Lord Jesus, I think TV could be used by you. I know that there are preachers' videos, God. There are no arguments for having a TV. I have no confidence in Christian TV. God, I think the television has watered us down and addicted us to the world. Many people here that would not do the things that they see on the television would take pleasure in them. God, there's somebody here who needs to cut the horn and the tail off of a bull in their living room. Or the one they got in the closet in their bedroom. Yeah. Somebody needs to cut the horn and the tail off of it. Somebody here, God, who just wishes I would have picked a lot better sermon and not wasted their time tonight. All I ask there, God, I don't ask you judgment, don't ask you punishment. I'm not mad at them. I just ask the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the message. Father, if I've not said any truth, then don't bear witness to it. But in the name of Jesus Christ, if there's truth in what I've said, then don't you let them get away from adjusting the fine-tuning and turn up the volume and telling your children to shut up or get out of their way. Don't you let them do it without bringing the words of this preacher back to their ears. God, there's not a home in this church that will not be better off without teaching. I don't care if all they had was Christian program. God, if you deal with anybody about anything else, you can use this time of opportunity, this time of invitation, for somebody to get a victory in their life. You use it in Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. Number 290, where he leads me, I will follow. And if the Lord has led you about anything, you do it. If you got something to come pray about, you do it. If you're addicted to television, Dad, Mom, you're addicted to it. Get it right. You come as we sing. I'll pray for you.
Preacher, why are you waiting a little bit here? Well, I'm your pastor. Brother Gipp has no idea. You've got a TV or you don't have a TV. He just preached what God put on his heart. But I'm your pastor. I know some of you, have no victory in your life over sin. You've had a sin that has bogged you down and weighed you down. You wonder why you can't get victory, why you dump filth in your mind every single day. No power of God, no time for the book. My, how hard it is to stay awake this morning and listen to the preacher preach. So what if that second late movie got over at 3 o'clock? Well, we did get the beer out of our refrigerator, but we just moved it down to the basement where when people come in and open the refrigerator, they don't see it. Well, I wouldn't do that. No, you wouldn't do that with the beer. You say, do you agree with everything Brother Gipp preached this evening? I could preach another hour. I agree with everything he said. And I could add another hour's worth to it. You say, why? Because you see, when there's problems in the home, there's problems with the family and problems with the children and problems with the marriage. They come to me and they say, oh, preacher, help. Preacher, I need your help. Well, what we need is some old-fashioned preaching, they say. You just got some tonight. You just got some. All the old-time preachers preached on the filth of this world. I'd like to have him preach another message on another subject. I wish I could remember, and I can't right now. Bob Jones Sr., everybody quotes Bob Jones Sr. Bob Jones Sr.'s chapel talks, Bob Jones Sr. sings, on and on they go. And I can't remember exactly how it was said. I think Mrs. Gipp told me tonight that Bob Jones Sr. said, lack of standards will be the ruin of Christianity. Bob Jones Sr. See, we don't want that. We don't want what the old-time preachers preached. And bless God you got it tonight. And I'm thankful for it. I'm going to have my wife play through one more verse because I believe there's somebody else needs to come down this altar tonight and have enough guts to come down and deal with God. Where he leads me, I'll follow. Will you follow? The piano plays, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe somebody else needs to come tonight. Just say, that thing has just controlled me. I've been a slave to it. Maybe you need to come tonight. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. Okay, we're going to close. Number 290, last verse, he'll give me grace and glory. He will give me grace.